the great Kohan David Hawkins.
It's an honor and a privilege to address the called out ones of the Living Father. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you today on a topic related to the topic that Pastor's been teaching us about, the destruction of the firmament, the real cause of global warming. And so some of the information I'd like to bring to you today, I'd like to tell you about each building, just as the atmosphere is a firmament. Each building has its own unique firmament, and it's important to respect that firmament in each dwelling, in each building. Also, I'd like to describe in further detail some of the things that Pastor has been teaching us regarding viruses attacking bacteria in the firmament. The overseer of the house of Yahweh, great Kohen Yisrael Hawkins, has been teaching us Yahweh's plan regarding the consequences of sin. And in the changes in the weather pattern that we see today, we see the results of sin reaching into the heavens. Today, due to the sins of mankind, the firmament is being destroyed. This is the real cause of global warming. And for those of you who are tuning into this broadcast, the sixth Roman month, 2007, Prophetic Word magazine talks about the real cause of global warming, and that real cause being the destruction of the firmament caused by the sins of mankind. So this information about the real cause of global warming was first presented in the Prophetic Word magazine, sixth Roman month, 2007. Since that time, Pastor's been bringing out more information regarding the firmament and the destruction of the firmament caused by the sins of mankind, such as STDs coming from adultery, fornication, bestiality, and homosexuality. In a recent sermon, Pastor told us about viruses and how they attack the bacteria in the firmament. I'd like to share with you one example of how a virus destroys bacteria. And the example that I'd like to bring forth is an example that I understand regarding the cheese industry, the cheese-making process. When cheddar cheeses, or when cheeses are made, there are specific bacteria, beneficial bacteria, that are used to ferment the milk products to make cheese. Such as when cheddar cheese, Monterey Jack cheese, pepper jack cheese, mozzarella, and Munster cheese are made, and these are some cheeses that we're familiar with. The process involves adding milk to the cheese vat, begins with that, and then the milk is brought up to a certain temperature. It's a temperature that the bacteria love to live in. And so the typical temperature is about 90 degrees Fahrenheit. And then the beneficial bacteria are added to and stirred into the milk product. So then over a period of time, these beneficial bacteria, they grow and multiply because they're in their ideal environment. And, you know, each type of cheese that's made has its own beneficial bacteria, which produces its own flavor, aging properties, and melting properties. The types of bacteria that these beneficial bacteria start to grow and reproduce at a temperature that's perfect for their growth, and they have plenty of milk sugar to eat. The milk sugar is called lactose. The beneficial bacteria reproduce and eat the milk sugar called lactose, and they produce lactic acid. So this is the tartness that you taste in the whey and in fermented dairy products. The beneficial bacteria produce lactic acid, which is vital to making cheese. The milk pH, which is a measurement of acidity, starts out at neutral, which is about 7, and it decreases to around 5 during the process, which takes several hours. And you want to get the cheese to around 5 pH because that's it. That's one reason is that's the pH in which it will melt. If it's very much above that or very much below that, it won't melt properly. So the beneficial bacteria used to make cheese have a natural enemy, though. They have a natural enemy. And that natural enemy is a little virus called bacteriophage. I'm going to refer to it in the literature that we're going to read as phage. It's a little virus which looks for these beneficial bacteria and tries to destroy them. And this is the example I'd like to give you today with respect to, and which you can apply then. This is one specific example, a specific group of bacteria, and a specific virus. But it's applied also to the firmament, because there's many types of bacteria in the firmament, and these viruses, these detrimental viruses that are caused by the sins of mankind, raise up to the heavens and mix in and destroy the bacteria in the firmament. But the example I'd like to use has to do with the cheese-making process, a specific group of bacteria. The two main types that are used are lactobacillus. Let me make sure I get the terminology correct here. Lactobacillus lactis is one group, one family of bacteria, and another one is called Streptococcus thermophilus. They're similar, but they have different temperature ranges. Okay, so these bacteria have a natural enemy. It's a little virus called phage. And now, just to point out, in this example I'm using, the phage are not detrimental. These little viruses that attack the bacteria used in the cheese-making process are not detrimental to mankind. They don't hurt us, but they do hurt the bacteria that make cheese. So if the batch of cheese doesn't turn out, you know, they've created a significant loss because of the destruction of the bacteria. Okay, so I'd like to read an article, portions of an article here from a dairy magazine, spring 1992. It says controlling phage or controlling virus is the foundation of successful cheese making. It says bacteriophage, in other words, the virus attacking starter culture bacteria and destroying their acid-producing ability. So if the bacteria are dead, they cannot produce lactic acid. They can't make the cheese. Bacteriophage attacking starter culture and destroying their acid-producing ability is among the most prevalent of starter problems or culture problems. Controlling bacteriophage or controlling the virus is therefore the foundation of successful starter program. And this information is cheese industry wide. The cheese industry is very concerned about this little virus because they want to make a successful batch of cheese every time. When the virus comes in contact with a susceptible bacteria cell, it attaches to specific receptor sites on the cell surface. The phage, and Pastor referred to this phenomena of a virus attacking bacteria. He referred to it as raping. Okay, that's what it looks like in the microscopic world, and I'll show you that in the diagram. It says the phage then injects its own DNA into the bacteria cell. This foreign DNA takes control of the cell metabolism to produce numerous copies of itself inside the cell. Finally, the cell will lyse, which means burst. For the dead bacteria cell in which the virus have grown will burst, and it releases many more viruses into the environment to hunt another bacteria cell to try to kill it. Finally, the cell will lyse or burst, releasing dozens and even hundreds of new viruses. The period of time from phage attachment to lysis, or bursting, varies according to the type of virus, but averages about 35 minutes. That's the generation time. They take over bacteria, They grow, multiply, and burst, releasing the new baby viruses, if you will, which are now adult-sized, in about 35 minutes. The burst size, the number of replicas of virus makes inside each bacteria cell, usually ranges up to 250. So they attack this bacteria cell, they multiply, and after 35 minutes, 250 little viruses burst forward, and they burst out, and they go hunting another bacteria to kill. A typical starter bacteria divides every 30 minutes, okay? So this is the bacteria. It takes one bacteria 30 minutes to produce two, 30 minutes to produce four, that type of thing. So you see, the rate of replication is quite different. That's why these viruses have to be controlled, or they will stop the cheese-making process. At that rate, one starter culture, and you can apply this to the firmament. If the firmament is overwhelmed by sin, if it's overwhelmed by these viruses being released by sinful conduct, these bacteria numbers are going to be overwhelmed by the virus numbers. At that rate, one starter culture will divide twice to make four cells in an hour. One bacteria will make four cells in an hour. By contrast, a single virus with a burst size of 150 in 30 minutes can produce 22,500 virus cells in 30 minutes. So the bacteria can produce four, the virus can produce 22,500. Each of these replicate phages or virus are capable of infecting and killing other host cells they contact. It is therefore apparent that one virus can quickly take over the starter culture, the bacteria that are making the cheese. I'd like to show you a diagram of this process. You start on the left here, that watermelon-looking symbol there represents a bacteria, okay? And the little creature above it, that's hovering over above it, getting ready to attack it, that symbolizes the virus. Okay, and so the second slide here is where the virus has honed in on the bacteria cell, and just like a leech on a fish or any kind of parasite, on a host, it's latched onto the bacteria cell here in the second part of the diagram here. Okay, in the third one, it's injected its DNA into the bacteria. It's latched on, injected its DNA, and then in the next one here, the bacteria cell becomes a virus factory. It's a virus factory. It's a place where these viruses are replicating, they're growing. And so after 30, 35 minutes, well, here in the next one here, it's the viruses have matured inside the cell, which they've now killed. That bacteria cell is dead. And then the last step is lysis, which means the dead cell bursts open and releases its cargo of 200 or so viruses into the environment. The environment can be either the air or it can be liquid, you know, milk in a cheese vat or wherever the virus is growing. Okay, so continuing in this article here, virus can never be completely eliminated from a plant environment. So it's sanitation, cleanliness is extremely important. These viruses, these little phages that are the enemy of the cheese-making bacteria, they're going to be there. But they need to be controlled so that their volumes stay low. I was in a cheese-making plant about 25 years ago, and I saw this phenomenon at work. The cheesemaker that day, he made three vats, one, two, three in a row. He had three cheese vats. And they had a sanitation problem in that plant in that there were some of these little viruses introduced into the first vat. And so each vat, the first one was successful, barely, in making the vat of cheese. The second one was, there was a little activity, but the third vat was completely dead. The product that was made was useless. So I've seen this phenomena work in an actual production environment. So sanitation is critical in controlling this virus in a cheese building, for example. But it can never be completely eliminated from the plant environment. So special care must be taken to keep infection to a minimum. Physical separation of all process areas are ideal in a plant layout. That's why, in the cheese industry, they'll have a cheese plant where they make the plant. They have a separate building where they process the whey. So they're isolated areas. And that principle can be applied to other processing areas where food is made. Certain type of food product made in this building, another type of food product made in this building, because each of these buildings has its own firmament, has its own environment, and that environment needs to be respected. And you may get into a situation if you try to mix one process with another where these microorganisms are going to be fighting one another. They're going to be warring against another. And the results may be disastrous to what you're trying to make. It says here, floors must be kept clean and dry if possible to lessen the potential of fives or virus transportation on boots. Whey handling should be located as far as possible from starter rooms in the industry where they're making 100,000 to 500,000 pounds of cheese a day. In some of these plants, they have a separate building for the cheese and a separate building for the whey processing. They pump the whey from over to the cheese building for processing. Personnel should be aware that they are carrying fives on their boots, clothes, and their hands. So, again, sanitation is extremely important. I'd like to, several more slides here I'd like to go over with key points. Okay, on this one, the main point here is that it's factors affecting starter, which is bacteria, okay? The beneficial bacteria, it's called starter. Factors affecting starter activity, and the one I've highlighted here is presence of inhibitors such as viruses, potential for a bacteriophage. On the next slide here, factors affecting starter performance. I just want to confirm with you that the starter culture, they're bacteria. They're what Pastor describes in the firmament as the bacteria. The rain droplets form around the bacteria. Because we're going to see that there's a big difference in size between the bacteria and the viruses. On this one here, first of all, on the right here, we see probably an electron microscope picture of a virus. It has a head, it has a stem, it has pointy needle-like structures here on the base where it attaches to the bacteria. And I've got a better diagram of that coming up shortly. But as it says here, a virus bacteriophage is a virus that infects bacteria, beneficial bacteria, used in the cheese-making process. It's made up of DNA and protein. It's inactive, so dormant but viable. And Pastor's talked about this, that viruses can be dormant. They can be, they're viable under the right environment, but many of them are dormant. And here it says survives pasteurization, which means it can survive heat, a certain amount of heat. They can survive a certain amount of heat. Now this one here, the virus is 1,000th the time of a bacteria, the size of a bacteria. So in other words, the bacteria is 1,000 times larger than a virus, 1,000 times. And I'm sure sizes vary a little bit, but you see how tiny a virus is and how, relatively large in the microscopic world a bacteria is. And the last point here is pH tolerant. That means that, to some extent, it can survive the application of lye water, and it can also survive the application of vinegar, which is acidic, for example. So if pH tolerant means that it has a range of acidity where it can survive chemicals that try to attack it. This picture here is the best picture I have of a virus. You see here on the left, this little creature, this is the virus. These are some of its main points here. It has a head. It has DNA inside the head, which is what gets injected into the bacteria. It has, it says a collar. It has a tail. And it has this spiny pointed needle-like structures, which actually puncture the bacteria. So, and here it says, syringe-type injection into the cell. Okay, so I have, hopefully this will work out here, I have a little demonstration of the relative size of a bacteria versus the size of the virus. This is my bacteria cell, okay? This is my bacteria right here. Can you all see that? And this is my little virus simulator. So here's a little virus, relative size. This, the bacteria is 1,000 times bigger than the virus cell. So here's my little virus cell. He's in the environment here, in the air, or in the liquid, wherever. And he hones in on this bacteria here, and he sticks it. Okay? He attaches his pointy fingers into this bacteria cell. And now he injects his DNA into the cell, and he's done his damage. So now it takes about 30 minutes or so, 30, 35 minutes, for this bacteria to become a virus factory, at which time it will, after 30, 35 minutes, it's going to burst open like dropping this watermelon on the floor, and it's going to release its viruses into the environment, whatever that environment is, so that they can go hunting another bacteria cell to destroy. So just to summarize the cycle here again, little viruses attacking a bacteria, that's called absorption. The DNA is injected into the cell. The phage begins to grow in its little home, that, having taken over the bacteria cell. They grow to maturity after about 30, 35 minutes. And then lysis occurs, which is them bursting out into the environment to go try to find other bacteria cells to kill. The thing about this process, you can see the problem that the firmament is having right here. Question here, how many viruses are a problem? Well, here is time zero. This is the start of the cheese-making process, for example. If you put 10 million beneficial bacteria in a cheese vat, and there's one virus cell. And again, in the cheese-making process, these viruses don't hurt us. They only attack the bacteria. But that's not true in the firmament, and it's not true in, you know, where sin is involved. But anyway, if there's one virus here, after an hour, we have 80 million bacteria cells. And we got 40,000 virus cells. After 2 hours, we're up to 640 million bacteria cells, but we've got 1.6 billion with a B, virus cells that are hunting these 640 million bacteria cells, trying to find them and kill them. So you see the problem. And this is what the stress that the firmament is under. So this is the basic biological process that Pastor's describing with respect to viruses and bacteria. Every building has its own firmament. The cheese building, a cheese processing facility has a firmament different than other buildings where food products are processed and packaged. It is important to keep and protect the firmament of a building from outside contamination. Processes must be kept separate as much as possible. Large cheese-making facilities, they have some separate buildings for processing the cheese and the whey, for example, just for that very purpose. They don't want one firmament warring with another firmament. This is true in our homes also. It's true in buildings, and it's true in our homes also. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33, it says, "The curse of Yahweh is in the house of the wicked." So you see, someone who is committing sin, sexual sins in their house, there's a curse in that house. But notice in verse Proverbs 3:33, it says, "The curse of Yahweh is in the house of the wicked." And sin brings its own curses, okay? It's not Yahweh bringing the curse, it's the curse of sin. And this proverb continues, "But he blesses the home of the just." You know, he blesses the homes, the dwellings, where the laws are being kept. In Isaiah chapter 32, verse 18, "My people will dwell in peaceful habitation and in sure, secure dwellings and in quiet resting places, because the laws are being kept. Though hail comes down on the forest and the city is brought low in a low place, blessed are you who sow besides all waters, who can safely send forth the feet of the ox and the donkey to roam freely." I'd like to read several verses from Iob chapter 38. Pastor talked about the wisdom of Iob, and in chapter 38, Yahweh questioned Iob, put several questions before him, and you know it's some of the things that Pastor's been talking about and teaching us with respect to the firmament and what's all involved in the firmament. And again, I encourage you to reread the Prophetic Word magazine from 2007, the sixth Roman month, on the real causes of global warming. In chapter 38 of Iob, verse 1, "Then Yahweh answered Iob out of the whirlwind and said, 'Now stand up and prepare yourself like a man, for I will question you, and you will answer me.'" In verse 9 of Iob 38, "When I made the clouds as a garment and the thick darkness as a swaddling band, when I fixed the limits of it and set the doors and bars in place." So this is speaking of the firmament. Speaking of the things that occur in the firmament, much information. We weren't aware of this until a pastor came out with this information on the true causes of global warming. In verse 25, "Who has prepared the channel for the torrents of rain or a path for the thunderbolt to cause it to rain on land where no man lives, on the wilderness uninhabited, to satisfy the desolate waste and cause the tender grass to spring forth? Does the rain have a father?" Yahweh is questioning Job here in verse 28. "Who has begotten the drops of dew? Who has begotten the drops of rain?" You know, with the bacteria that are being destroyed by the sins of mankind at this very time. Verse 37, "Who has the wisdom to count the clouds? Who can pour out the water bottles of the heavens?" I'd like to just read one more scripture. This is Revelation chapter 18. I'm going to read this from the Prophetic Word magazine, page 22, the June or sixth Roman month, 2007 edition. Pastor titles this here, "Her sins have reached into the heavens." Revelation 18, 1-5. "And after these things, I saw another mighty Moloch," Yahweh's witness in these last days, "come down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was enlightened with his glory," enlightened with the laws, the teachings of Yahweh. And in verse 4, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, so that you do not partake of her in her sins, so that you do not receive of her plagues.'" Verse 5, "For her sins have reached unto heaven," they've reached into the heavens, enough to destroy the firmament, "and Yahweh has remembered her iniquities." So brethren, I hope these diagrams have added to your knowledge of the process by which the firmament is being destroyed. It's been an honor and a privilege to speak to you. If you'd all please stand at this time. It's my honor and privilege to introduce our next speaker, Greg Kohan Fafania Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We've got a great video this morning. It's a little different than the news. We've got a It's basically a lecture by a microbial biologist, and her name is Bonnie Lynn Bassler, and she's supporting and showing the evidence of what the pastor has been saying all along. And listen to this video. It's talking about how bacteria communicate with one another and how they act in groups and armies and families, and she even uses the word siblings. And she talks about how this information, this knowledge, is real new, and it basically has been developed over the last decade, which is after the pastor has been bringing this out. But she talks about how the bacteria are able to communicate with one another and then gang up on one another. And she's one of the ones who in the world has discovered this, and it's called quorum sensing. And it basically supports everything that the pastor has said. But you got to watch a little bit of deception in here, because she kind of talks about evolution. She says these bacteria engineered this process themselves. I don't know why they don't see how ridiculous that point of view is. And then they also talk about how this could lead to cures to these diseases. And I don't see why they can't see that it will not lead to cures to these diseases. What it shows is how complicated life is. And as the scripture says, we are wonderfully made. And then we have an animation after that about how HIV infects a cell. And then we've got an animation showing HIV raping a cell, which it goes along with what the Kohan was just speaking about. It's basically what he was showing in the diagrams animated in 3D animations. And then we've got an electron microscope video of HIV raping a cell. So it's the exact thing the pastor was talking about. So let's play the video. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins!
Shalom, everyone! There you go.
Okay, come on. Come on.
Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. This day is starting off perfect. I've been looking forward to it for quite some time. And information from the great Kohan David Heimerman Hawkins that started this lesson here, that I said we've got to play all of these together. We can't divide them up. It wouldn't mean as much. And I hated to take that much time, but they said I could take an hour and a half afterwards. So. No, I'm joking. I won't take your lunch away from you. I've got to find my papers here. Here we go. David covered me up with papers coming in on me this morning, because I made him work yesterday, his day off. He said that was his prep day, and I said, David, you're pretty enough already. Just forget about that and get up here and get to work. That's for women. Prep day is for women. Of course, they don't prep. They go to Walmart and break down their cars. And next time they do that, I'm going to tell them I'm prepping. All day yesterday that was occurring, believe it or not. Well, maybe not all day. The films that we saw there now, you've got to... What I want to establish is, in this team of scientists that's doing this, they started doing it after they got the information from the house of Yahweh about, yes, that Yahweh gives us from the Holy Scriptures, and nothing tops that. They haven't seen half of it yet, but Yahweh has revealed it to us and is revealing it to us. But these cells that I started preaching this long before we put the book out, and we put the book out in 2007, I believe. And then after that, the scientists then latched onto it and started doing tests and saw the possibilities, of course, of curing cancer and And this is, you notice, they got the hopes now. They know that bacteria talk to each other, and they hear each other, so they're going to find a way to stop them from hearing and talking and put their own commands in this thing. Now, of course, Yahweh is the one that commands them. And Yahweh created them, and then he commands them to do a certain job. Well, of course, in your body, which is made up of trillions of cells, and each part of it doing its job, you're able to breathe, you're able to really enjoy life. Now, think of being a ball of gas and not being able to enjoy life. Now, that's Christianity. And their God is a gassy God that it's so stupid, the things they put out, but the people fall for it because they don't want righteousness in their life. They don't want to control their lust. They don't want, and of course, the lust is what is killing off the very cells that make you enjoy life. Every portion of your body, starting with your brain down to your feet, every portion of it is made up of these cells. Now, it's pockets of cells, of course. It's kingdoms of cells that makes you breathe, that makes you twitch your finger, makes you see, makes you hear. All of these things, they're made up of kingdoms of cells, and Yahweh commanded them to be just that. Now, science is now realizing this, and they want to control these cells. They want to be able to control them. Don't let them hear anything but what they send it. And in this way, they'll use the cells, the bacteria, to actually fight. Now, this is their hope, to fight what they don't want to give up, that sin, which is causing all of this. Now, you've got to realize that sin is working against our enjoyment of life. It's working against life itself. Life in the body that can enjoy life. Yahweh could have made us a different way, but this way you enjoy life with the body that Yahweh gave us. Right? Praise Yahweh. We can enjoy the environment around us. Think of the cells that's in your mouth right now, and if you're looking forward to dinner, then they start multiplying, and they were commanded to do that, to give you taste, what we call taste buds. One bud is made up of probably 10 billion cells that you can't even see. Of course, they're transparent to the naked eye. I noticed some of these things that we were studying, they were magnified like 2,000 times before you could ever get to where you could see it. And if it's not, you see right through it. That's the reason you don't see anything out here in space, but it's there, controlling the amount of sun rays. That's one of the things they do. If you noticed here lately, the sun is hotter. And when you get out in the sun, you feel it. The scientific tests that actually prove that. And right now, and they're saying that this global warming now is so much percent sensible to the human body. Now, that's because of this invasion of the bacteria that control how much sun rays you get. And, of course, the bacteria is being made sick, as you saw, from the viruses that attack it. They attack the cells. They mutate, multiply like crazy. I forgot the amount of mutations they are that comes with a HIV virus breeding one bacteria, and the crosses they get there, the mutations, and then they add the drugs to that, which also helps to mutate it and make it stronger. And now they have the super HIV that is fast picking up steam to cover the world. So what we're doing, we're letting our lust destroy the very body that could make us enjoy life, make us enjoy living. Well, this Bonnie, I thought she did a great job on this, and we're hoping to use that work to send out with our shows, but also put in our in the book. And I guess this is going to be a book. They told me this week that it was way too big to get in the magazine like I wanted to, so we're going to have to make a book out of it. And praise Yahweh. But the bacteria talk, and of course, I want you to look at Genesis with this. I don't have much time, so we'll cover just a little. But I want you to remember now two things: the plagues that we're suffering now. One thing: the sun is getting hotter, and we're beginning to feel it. You step out in the sun, it burns your skin. You stay out in it long before your skin gets used to it. If you're not used to it and you go out in it and stay very long, the next day you'll be swollen. Your flesh will swell up because the cells inside the skin of your body that's supposed to protect it got too much of the sun's rays, and of course your legs will swell, your feet, your face will swell. Sometimes your eyes will swell shut if you get too much of it. In Genesis 1, and Yahweh says in Genesis, in verse 26, he said, then Yahweh said, I will make man in my image. Yahweh's body he made to where he can enjoy life. He wants that body given to mankind. And that's the reason he made us like we are. We're going to be the family of Yahweh, sons and daughters of his, having bodies to praise Yahweh, to always enjoy life. Sin is what breaks down these laws that he gives the makeup of your body, the makeup of the earth, and the atmosphere of the firmament. Now, according to my likeness, and they will have rulership over the fish of the sea, and look at the last verse, over the birds of the air. I'm not sure that's birds right there. I'm thinking it's more, it has to do with everything in the air. And we're still studying it and got probably a long ways to go yet. But I'm thinking it does mean other things. And the last verse there, next to the last verse, it says creeping things that creep. Creeping things. That is the cells, the very cells, the bacteria that we're talking about that Yahweh commanded to come together and make the earth to begin with. In one day, he could command this, and they do what he says. Well, if you noticed in that film now, they talk to each other. They've got a job to do. They communicate with each other. They form a kingdom. They can't work by themselves. Did you get that? You can't work by yourself. And we're essentially, the job that we've got to do, we've got to come to this same unity. And imagine now, praise Yahweh, imagine now what is taking place in the universe here is the sickness that's creeping in. Well, it's also creeping into the bodies and making them unfit to do their job, the job that they actually are designed to do perfectly, were designed to do perfectly. Now they're being broken down, and we see more articles. I have some here, but I don't have time to read them, where they're admitting now that this, when it enters the brain, it causes confusion, mental disorders, and of course the person may have his finger on a trigger of a bomb, you know, and a leader of a country. I believe it was Ted Kennedy's son that they had on the news that was bipolar, one of the, well, you know, you would never think these things. But this is someone that's high up in politics and has been for years, leaders of the country, of America. The whole family dates back for years. And now we find out, we see this, you know, we can see it now. We can see it taking place. If people would just look at what they're doing to the human race. But Yahweh is giving us authority over the things that creep. That is, over this bacteria of which the earth is made, of which your body is made, of which the firmament that we're breathing in and out is made. Here's what science knows of as the tiniest bug that you're breathing in and out right here. This is probably magnified, probably 10,000 times right here. Because and this one is one that cleans your bed of a night and then in the daytime. You all know what that is, right, everybody? Dust mite. This comes in behind you when you get out of bed and even when you're in bed, and it cleans up the dead cells that fell from your body that night on your sheets. You can't see these, but you saw them in that film. That's one a little bit bigger. They look like sheep grazing on a pasture, don't they? And this one is magnified probably 20,000 times or more in order for you to see it. But this is what with which Yahweh says, I'm going to give you authority. You got that? Are you with me? Everybody with me now? Praise Yahweh. Now, if you hold your place there in Genesis, stick your finger there in Genesis, and go over to Psalms 104. Yes, David knew a lot. He had some great knowledge. Proverbs 2, a book of wisdom, and Ecclesiastes also. And we'll see this as we go along. This is a subject, you know, I told someone the other day, I think it's never ending because, you know, we're finding things out before the science ever finds out. We find them out and publish them. And then the science goes in behind us to make money with it. But in Psalms now, 104, look at verse 30. He says, when you send your spirit, hold your place there and in Genesis, and look over to Yochanan. Hold your place now, those two places, so you won't lose them. You got your fingers in them, boys? Remember what he said there. When you send your spirit, look at Yochanan 6 and verse 63. It is the Spirit that gives life. The Spirit that gives life. Well, what is the Spirit that gives life? The flesh is useless without it. Without the laws of Yahweh, flesh is useless. Unless you make up your mind to uphold these laws in their original state, all these creeping things that creep, not add AIDS to it, don't add sexually transmitted diseases to it, don't let it get fouled up like it is today. You've got to make up your mind to keep this body where it's enjoyable, or you won't enjoy life. And the second thing that Yahweh tells you, after he tells you, commands you, you want to do my way? Go to the feast. The second thing, y'all remember what that is, priest? The second thing he commands you when you go to the priest, go to the feast, rejoice. You can't rejoice with a sick body. Yahweh says, keep your body well. What is wrong with that commandment that the world don't want to do it? Satan has the world deceived into thinking they're going to rejoice by fulfilling their lust, which lasts for a few minutes, and then it's all over, and they got to deal with now, they got the sickness in their bodies that they got from that animal, or from a sodomite, or from a fornicator, a whoremonger, none of which will have part in this kingdom. I'm talking about another kingdom besides the micro kingdoms. This kingdom that he's building is like himself, us. This kingdom that he's building, there will be no sin in it at all. And it will enjoy life in abundance, Yeshua said. Well, here you see now the spirit that gives life, the flesh is useless, the laws that I speak, the laws, now science also, and I put it in the writings, you know, they couldn't discover about the heat and why it increased and why it diminished. Here's, it's just coming through the sky, through the clouds. Maybe a cloud got in front of it. Well, they knew that. They knew better. But they had trouble. Why is it increasing? You know, why does it increase? What makes it increase and decrease? Well, finally, they discovered a law. A law in the firmament now that I wrote about and show it, and it'll be coming out to you very soon. But they discovered a law, they said, that makes the firmament adjust with the explosions on the sun. Now, I know you've seen those explosions on the sun here lately. Well, with each one of those comes forth a magnitude of heat, extreme heat, but also sun's rays, radiation that's coming, that you've got to have. You've got to have so much. And the firmament, these little kingdoms in the firmament, adjust to give you just the right amount. Well, after they discovered this law, then they could easily discover the heat and how fast it increases under certain conditions and so forth. Well, that's what they've found out now. This is just bits and pieces they're finding out. But the Spirit, and they are life, they're life everlasting, these words that he's given you here. Now, go back. You can let Yochanan 6 loose with that finger. And go back to Psalms 104 and verse 30. Now you'll understand what he's saying here. When you send your spirit, now you know it's a command from Yahweh. When he made these bacteria that have so much power in the earth and in the atmosphere, he made them for mankind to enjoy life in this body that he gives us. And he commanded them, each part of your body, to do a certain thing. The kingdom you have in here on each side lets you hear my words. Same as bacteria can hear and actually communicate with one another. Well, that's how your body is made. So he says, when you send forth your spirit, they are created, yes, whole creation. This is what I told you. I understand how Yahweh made the earth in one day, how he made everything else in a single day. You know, he did everything in 6 days that we see and that involved mankind. Everything in 6 days. All he did, he commanded what his creation that he had already created, the bacteria, and he commanded it to form the earth that you're sitting on. With him, it's easy. With you, it will be one day too, because you'll have this power. He wants to give it to you. All he demands is come to unity. Yes, come to unity with him. So when you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. Now, if you go over to, when he's talking about they here, they renew the earth, If you look back to Genesis, you can let that go in Psalms now. Look back to Genesis, next to the last verse of 26. The creeping things, the creeping things with which the earth and firmament are made. When you give your command, this is what they do. Now look over, let me cover one more anyway, Hebrews 11. Yes, the apostles knew some about this too. And through the prophets and apostles, Yahweh paints a beautiful picture for us and creation, how he works, how he's planned, this life for you, planned the not only the overcoming, he gives you trials and tests. All of that was planned out before you were born. And you're sitting here and have a wonderful opportunity to partake of this and actually become a member of this kingdom, the Yahweh family. Now remember what Genesis said, creeping things of the earth. He's going to give us authority over those creeping things of the earth. Now look at Hebrews. You should have it by now. Hebrews 11, and notice verse 3. Through this, the faith, that's the plan, if you remember, Yochanan 1:1, in the beginning was the plan. This faith is the whole system of Yahweh's plan for you. Through this, the faith, we understand that the worlds were formed by the command of Yahweh. You see that now? It makes sense, don't it? By this, you commanded the worlds to be formed, and they were formed. You commanded what? The smallest things you can't even see, Yahweh commanded it, and it all came together and made an earth. It made the sun, made the moon, and the stars that all have to do with mankind on the earth. In 6 days, he put it all together by command. And the apostle knew this. He wrote about it. He commanded, he said, so that the things which are not in evidence, if you write there, the things you can't see, the bacteria that you can't see, are now seen coming to pass. Isn't that beautiful? To understand this scripture, you would have to understand from Genesis on through and put it all together. That's how I found out, by leadership of Yahweh, of course, inspiration. You can't do it on your own. There's just no way to do it. But you can see it if you will just study and study, devote your time. Now, you can give up both of those scriptures now that you're still holding there. And let's look over to Matithya 8. Matithya 8. Remember those scriptures, though. Don't forget them. Matithya 8, because here, Yeshua now, all authority in heaven and earth, he said, is given unto me, unto Yeshua. He qualified, in other words, to receive this authority that Yahweh made mankind to achieve. Genesis 1:26. I'll make mankind in my likeness, in my image, and I will give him this authority. Well, of course, we see what it is and what Yahweh can do by creating the bacteria and so forth. You know, that's what they're hunting on Mars, I believe, now. They spent a few billion of your tax dollars to get a robot up there to see if they can find some bacteria. Because science is now realizing that from bacteria comes the whole thing. It's all made up of bacteria. The firmament, the universe, made up from tiny bacteria, and it's got to be that way because it can't adjust. If it's not adjustable, it would break, right? It's like a tree, you know, that's got to give in the wind, and it's got to adjust to it. If the sun has too many explosions, which it's exploding all the time, that's where we get our heat. That's where we get our light, from the sun. Yahweh made it so. and he adjusted it to keep it from burning you up. And if he took that adjustment away, you wouldn't be here but about a split second. You'd be smoke traveling up, gas, greenhouse gas, traveling up and away. Well, here now in chapter 8, we see Yahshua of Matithya. And if you look to verse 23, he said, when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And then a great storm suddenly rose on the sea so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. His disciples, I slept about that sound last night. I think about this and the way that is rolling back and forth. And I remember that I remembered a cruise that I took one time. And I said, I'll never take another one of them ever again. From Florida to the Bahamas, the ship was giving it this. Back and forth. Was going crossways with them waves. Everybody was sick. I opened the door. There was people had emptied in front of the door. Nobody to mop it up. People were sliding in it, falling down. I mean, it was a sick, sick mess before we finally came to a place where we can stop and get our feet on land. Well, Yahshua slept through this. I'm going to talk to him about that, I hope, one day. Last night, I slept so sound, it was like I went to sleep, and 20 minutes later, the alarm went off, you know. It was hours later, but Yahweh has healed my body somewhat, and I don't stay awake as much as I used to. I kind of miss that conversation with my stomach sometimes. No, I don't miss it either. Verse 25, his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Teacher, save us. We are going to drown. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Now here's the word used again. This meaning the knowledge of Yahweh's plan, the knowledge of the makeup of the earth, the knowledge of their calling, it includes every bit of that. And that's the reason he tells us, don't fear, because he knows he's going to put us through fearful things. And he says, don't fear now. He brought you here for the purpose of you entering that kingdom. And he says he's going to protect you. Remember? Protected place. O you of little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the wind. Well, what did he do? Talk to it? Whatever it was, they heard it. So he had to be just telling it. Cease. You get that? So this, whatever it is that makes up the wind. So what is wind? Well, we could call it gas, I guess, like the scientists do who doesn't understand what wind is. But gas don't hear, they say. Does gas hear, I ask? No. No, gas can't hear you. Well, whatever this is, it heard the Savior speak. And the Savior told it to cease. And it obeyed that order. Because the authority, as Yahweh said in Yochanan, Yahweh wants the Son of Man honored as he is honored. Remember that in Yochanan 5 and 6? So Yahweh is bringing this about, showing you the honor that you're going to get, the obedience. Now that, again, is why we must have perfect obedience. Absolute perfect obedience. It can't be lacking in any way. If it's not perfect obedience, it won't be in Yahweh's kingdom. Remember King Saul. And remember the command that Samuel gave him. He didn't do it. And his kingdom was taken away from him because of that. This is how important it is. Well, I think now you're probably beginning to see from the microorganisms, the bacteria, and so forth, if they don't obey, they don't belong. There's no reason for them to be there, but there's plenty of reasons for them not to be there. So they will be taken out. Now, the sick bacteria that can't obey, of course, that's going to take some cleansing. We're going to go into that because the scripture shows what is going to take place to actually straighten out the sick bacteria that is filling our firmament right now, to where the bacteria that want to do the job, they actually desire to do the job, but they can't. Remember, they got to have a team, a kingdom, before they can do their job. They cannot do it on their own. They can't act on their own. That's what Yahshua taught too. You can't do this on your own. You've got to work under leadership, and each one has got to do his part and follow the command in perfect unity with Yahweh. The faith. So he rebuked it, which they had to hear it. The wind had to hear it. He rebuked the winds and the sea, the H2O, with the salt also. Heard it. Heard him speak. Which means all of these things, not only the bacteria that form the firmament, which talk to each other, they heard Yahshua too. Because Yahshua had the authority, and it was given to Yahshua by Yahweh. All authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me, he said. Given by who? There's only one higher power. That's Yahweh. Nobody else has power over the bacteria that make up your body, that make up the universe. Satan has deceived your body into thinking otherwise, but Yahweh actually has the power over your body. He could destroy it in a second. And he even shows in Revelations 20 what he will do with those that don't fall in line and come to this unity with him. And there was a great calm, and the men marveled, saying, "What kind of man is this that the winds and the sea obey?" So there is obedience there. We see obedience in that verse. The wind and the waters, everything, obey Yahshua at this time, because he can talk to them and they will hear him. "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." Now, including all the sheep that you see grazing on your bed. Oh, you can't see it, but it's cleaning your bed for you. Isn't that something? It's beautiful what Yahweh made. And the nearer we get... The nearer we get to this, achieving this, like Yahshua did, you know, the more beautiful it becomes, because your understanding is being opened up to where you can actually see the plan of Yahweh, how it works, what he's wanting to give you, the gift that he's actually wanting to give you, which is that authority that he has over bacteria. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services to the next speaker. I love you!